City Talk 105.9 official podcasts online at citytalk.fm.
The best of Brian Reid.
Brian Reid
on City Talk 105.9.
Hello, this is Brian Reid, and between now and 8 o'clock, there's another chance to hear the best of my Saturday morning show here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. The man who puts the ale in the Daily Post, Mike Chappell. Did you like that one?
Hey. Thanks a lot, Brian.
I could have put the post in the Daily Post, yeah. But the ale...
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, how's the book up? Mike is a writer of ale books, pub crawl books.
Yeah.
Is it in the shops for Christmas, mate?
It is. It seems to be doing quite well, actually. Yeah, thanks for that little plug, mate.
Okay.
I need it.
Smash it.
I'm going to need it.
Yeah, nice little double-headed if you're in Waterstones would be Mike's pub crawl book. I'm 43 years with the same bear, which is...
Well, I went on Amazon and we were paired up together.
Oh, were we?
Oh, yeah.
The person who bought this also bought this.
Yeah.
Now, one Christmas treat, Mike, one Christmas treat this week, which has gone down really well, has been this fantastic Lapland theme park in Dorset.
It's fantastic.
Is this or is this not a story which sums up, epitomises the state of this lovely nation? Well, I mean, you know what happened down there, don't you?
Yeah, it was,
let's just get it. This was the story. Walking in a winter blunderland,
yeah.
Or Santa's grotty, as the paper called it. Parents had spent up to £130 taking their kids on what should have been a magical trip to a Lapland-style theme park. But they got a shock when they saw the nativity scene, a billboard in a muddy field. Look at that. An acre of mud and a painting at the end of it.
Yes.
Where's to come? At the magic tunnel of light, trees sparsely decorated with bulbs. The advertised ice rink was closed for repairs. After a 3-hour wait, Santa's grotto turned out to be plain grotty. It's just, I mean, I love that idea. They've got this little bear, this bear in the middle of a field.
Yeah.
You've sprayed trees white.
Yeah, I like the snowman, the obviously a bloke in a snowman's outfit. And the best little anecdote, and it's in one of the papers, it says... And a child had to be comforted after Santa was found having a sly drag on his fag outside his grotto.
Now, I think the best line was, one furious man held down a female worker dressed as an elf as a woman punched her in the face. The Santa's got beaten up. But you see, what I couldn't get my head around about this is about why did something like 50,000 people, was it 50,000? There was £50,000 worth of advance bookings
taken. Yeah. All paying 30 quid.
Wouldn't you have known what it was going to be like? Because...
Mr. Blobby?
Well, it's overpriced, it's tacky, there's no staff, there's long queues, there's no refreshments, there's a total rip-off, there's angry people leaving, there was violence.
Yeah.
That is every theme park in Britain. Yeah. Every theme park I've ever been to, good or bad.
Sounds like most football grounds now as well.
But I tell you how the story ended fabulously. They eventually shut it, although there was another great line. At the end of it, in the midst of all this chaos, right, nobody was speaking. And the park PR chief, Henry Mears. So they had no staff, they had no props, they had nothing, but they had a PR chief. Again, doesn't that sum up the state of the country? He said, I'm a bit ashamed, to be honest. It was a bad first day. One Santa rang in sick. So the Santa may go, I can't be bothered with that one. Yeah. And then he said, trading standards officers visited, but stressed they had no powers to shut it. So you get the authorities down, they can't do anything about it. But it did close fabulously. It closed on Thursday. And this was the intro in the Daily Mirror. The rip-off Christmas grotto closed yesterday as one axed elf told tearful kids, Santa is effing dead. So they were screaming at the kids, Santa is effing dead.
Yeah.
And then the final line, yesterday's emerged, the man behind the idea, Victor Mears, 65, served 4 years inside in the 80s for evading £2 million worth of tax.
The great thing about him is, of course, along with the rest of the stories, you get some brilliant headlines. And this is one of the headlines. And talking about our friend there, you've just mentioned, and this is the headline: Chubby bloke from Lapland is a fraudster. Brackets, and we don't mean Santa.
Now, is it case of any kids listening? Santa isn't dead.
No, he's not a fraudster.
He's not a fraudster.
And he's coming on the show next week, isn't
and
he?
He's coming on 10:30. Steve Gribben. Michael, serious question. Now, I know. Are you still on route to getting married? You still engaged?
I'm engaged to Caroline.
Oh, yeah. Drag that one out of you there, mate. Answered two questions down the cells. Well, okay.
Hello there.
Yeah, hi, Mike's fiancée. But listen, I'm going to have to ask you a question here. If you were in the market for a wife, okay? I know you've got one. No, if you needed, you know, you think I'm getting on a bit now. I do need a wife, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. How far down the list would Karen Matthews be? No, just how far would she be down? The mother of Shannon Matthews. How far? Right at the bottom?
I know. It's just too disturbing for words, Karen Matthews. I mean, there's all sorts of serious issues going on. But, I mean, it is disturbing when you find out that this woman who looks like Waynetta Slob, there's no two ways about it.
She looks worse than Waynetta Slob.
Probably. Waynetta Slob.
Waynetta Slob would be higher up the list.
Well, you know, a woman who's had sort of 7 kids by 5 different blokes. And, I mean, you know...
The best line about the kids is as well, that two of them, there's only two that are from the same father, right?
Yeah,
I know they're referred to as the twins because they're from the same dad. So that everyone in the family in the street, oh, they're the twins. Yeah. Look, there goes, they're twins because they've got the same dad.
Well, the thing is, I was coming up with guesses for who the fathers might be, and I've come up with 5 candidates. You ready?
Go on, yeah.
Blind Pew. Because they're all obviously desperate. Blind Pew, Quasimodo, Godzilla, Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Cletus from The Simpsons.
And Chris Burton. Oh, no, he's Red Car. Red Car's not. That's nowhere near Dewsbury, is it? You know. But you're talking about the dads, okay. Five fathers, right? And every one of them, kind of after the case, has given their take on the gorgeous Karen.
Yeah.
And one of them said, William Marshall, okay, he's the father of a 5-year-old who now lives with his kid in Leeds, okay. And a friend said, when Karen split from him, she told him, take it with you. That's the kid.
It's terrible.
Another one said she was just a baby machine. She just wanted men for babies, for basic benefit checks. But the reason I asked you whether you'd marry her and if it would ever be possible to want to marry her is...
It's too horrible to think about.
The splash in the minutes today is that Craig Meehan, you know the one, Craig, that gorgeous Craig, he wants to marry her.
Oh, no.
He's written a letter to one of her friends, Petra, saying, tell Karen, I met over the hills and I want to marry her. Now, there's a couple of problems here. He's inside for downloading child porn.
I know.
She's going to face a very long sentence for what she's done. And there's another problem, which Craig admits to in his PS in the letter.
Yeah.
I don't know if she still loves me because I heard and I've found out that she were advertising on a Dateline internet site for 3 months for another man. While he was, and it turns out she was.
Yeah.
And guess what she called herself on this internet site?
I don't know. Bridget Bardot.
No, you have to have a name, don't you? Her name is Sexy Mama. And Sexy Mama.
What about Sexy Mammoth? That would probably be more.
In her little advert to try and attract another partner.
Yeah.
Sexy Mama said she wanted a man between 18 and 35. So she's let everyone have a chance there, hasn't she? Preferably virile and able to give me another benefit check. No, it's a kind of It's a shocking story on many levels, isn't it? It's a kind of... Because as someone who defends... I mean, I hate the way it allows kind of right-wing papers to say, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the working class. That's the underclass. Yeah, that's all they want to do.
The male have had a field day.
She ticks every box.
But
actually, if you look at it, none of her family like that. None of her sisters and the relatives and the people in the street are absolutely disgusted. She is clearly a one-off evil woman, you know?
A mutant.
But again, it comes back to this. I mean, when they planned... This scam, I mean, and the fellow she planned it with, the mutant she planned it with, the uncle.
Pinhead.
How thick do you have to be to you're going to get a 50 grand check? But the uncle is going to find it in a market. I found it! Give us me 50 grand!
I think the cops were so baffled because they thought, how could anyone be such a plank?
Yeah.
I'm sure that they thought, what's going on?
Well, I think they knew there was something up when the female liaison officer had to tell her that they'd found your daughter, Karen.
Yeah.
You know what she said? Because they phoned through to tell her.
Yeah.
That's a lovely ringtone on your phone. That was her face. So they suspected something was up.
Yeah. But it is very disturbing because, I mean, you obviously do have people, you know, that are like that. That people like the Mail will jump on and say, this is the working class for you. But you have to say that sometimes it's disturbing that there are people in the system who are sort of like, Let's call it sort of lazy cows, using kids as cash cows. Now, I know that sounds terrible, but it's there,
and you can't deny it. And it's a generational thing.
Yeah.
But again, you can't deny the fact that these same people that say that, they don't realise what happened, let's say, to this country in the 1980s.
Yeah.
When basically vast chunks, likes of Yorkshire, where she's from, mining community, they basically wrote them off and said, look,
of course
that's just it. We don't care about you. Yeah. Well, go and do what you want.
Yeah.
So the benefit system was in place that people have abused since then. Yeah. They were written off. They were cut adrift.
Yeah.
And this is your comeback. Yeah. If there's no such thing as society, this is what lands on your doorstep.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's another thing about it too, I think, a very fascinating thing, is that we live in an age now where literally every young person thinks you could be rich like that overnight. No talent, no hard work, you could be rich. They look at celebrity people, they look at someone like Jade Goody, for example. You could be so thick, you think that East Anglia is a country, right? But yet you could be worth a couple of million.
Yeah.
You could be on the front of Closer and Heat, and you could be a celebrity with your own celebrity perfume out. Now, Karen Matthews must have thought she was going to get a celebrity perfume out in a couple of years.
Yeah.
That's what it was. They thought, well, hang on, 50 grand, that's easy money.
Yeah.
Why can't we have that? That's what you do now.
Yeah.
There's easy ways of making money.
Yeah. You see, the thing is that if Karen Matthews had got off in some sort of way, the first thing she would have been doing was touting a story to somebody. And they would have paid.
My beautiful princess, just come home. By the way, Mike, don't get your fiance any Karen Matthews celebrity perfume for Christmas.
No, I've got some celebrity tracky bottoms actually.
Let's move on from Karen Matthews. Michael Chappell from the Daily Post. What's been your story of the week? We haven't had a Ringo. You've been here 15 minutes, you haven't mentioned Ringo. There is a Ringo story every week.
A trial, the world to find Ringo stories. And this week's Ringo story is... artist Alex Querrell, whoever he is, has created a sculpture of Ringo out of a phone book.
Why would you want
to? I know. Why haven't you got anything better to do? You should have used bog rolls anyway.
Don't send it to him, mate, okay? Because he's warned you with peace and love. He doesn't want any...
I know.
I don't want any phone books sent to me to get signed.
Yeah. Or else, peace and love.
She's made it out of a bush.
Where's his head, by the way? You haven't brought it back yet.
I'm bringing it in, New Year's Eve.
All right, then.
Yeah, okay, we're going to have a... when we give him our Man of the Year. Yeah. We make him our Man of the Year.
Yeah. What, with Boy George?
Yeah, we're going to ring him up. Ring him up in LA. Boy George, good link, mate.
Yeah.
Well, what's happened with Boy George?
Well, Boy George, could be going down.
He could be going down.
For his little altercation with I think it's a rent boy.
Shackling someone to his bed.
And of course, he's been found guilty of doing all this sort of S&M stuff and everything. But at the end of it, sort of coming up to the summing up, his defence counsel pleaded that George couldn't do what he was supposed to have done, i.e. shackle this guy to the bed, because he was too fat.
he's
not the man
Bates,
he was in the 80s. This is his defence, you know.
That's not Kathy Bates in Misery. I met him a couple of years ago. I had to interview him, and he is extremely fat.
Yeah.
And it's weird because his head's shaved. He's got these he's got big hands because his dad.
It was a boxer or something.
Yeah, yeah. His dad's just big Irish paddy, navvy. And he looks he's just like a big navvy.
Yeah, with lipstick on.
With lipstick on. It's quite,
how scary
quite
is
disconcert,
that?
Yeah. You know? And a big pink shirt and these big alehouse navvy hands. But I liked him. There's something about Boy George.
Yeah,
always
I think
liked
he's
it.
Very articulate and
he's kind
amusing.
Of he's self-effacing and I wouldn't like to be shackled.
No, but he's the sort of celebrity who's, you know, he has actually got talent to go with it.
Yeah. Well, I like the way.
There's any doubt about that.
And a couple of great singles. Time, The Clock of the Heart.
Yeah.
Brilliant single.
Yeah, great.
But I like the fact that, as he got found guilty of an offence in New York, didn't he, last 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And they made him sweep the streets.
That's right, yeah.
And he went down there dressed in these luminous jackets and he was street. And obviously, there was a media circus turned up to berate him and laugh at him.
Yeah.
And somebody skissed him. He turned around and he went at him with the brush and went, sorry, mate, you're trying to demean me because I'm cleaning. My mother was a cleaner. You know,
yeah.
And the fellow's like, "Do you do a good job, dear? What's so bad about cleaning? I'm happy to do this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna clean all day because nothing wrong with cleaning."
Yeah,
it's kind of he's articulate and he's genuine.
He bounces back, literally. Boing.
He'd be doing a lot of cleaning in jail. Britney Spears, going from someone who was a genuine pop star, which Boy George was.
Yeah.
So Britney Spears, you probably didn't watch the X Factor last Saturday.
I try and avoid it when I can. I actually like the X Factor only when the really awful ones come on and it slagged off, basically.
But what she did was, they'd had this big build-up, sorry. They had this big build-up. Saint Brittany is coming, the countdown, and all the judges go, like, this fantastic diva is going to descend and give her blessing to this panel.
Yeah.
She turned up. She didn't want to know anything about the judges. She wouldn't let them into her dressing room,
yeah.
Which I thought was quite good.
Yeah.
She comes on the stage, she clodops around,
yeah.
And then she mimes... In a show that's supposed... How many times does Simon Cowell say, this is a singing contest, for God's sake? She mimes, and they stand up and give it a standing ovation. sings this awful, awful music pap womanizer.
Well, the problem is, I think music has fallen into the X Factor trap.
But that's what I was going to say. That's what I found tragic about it. Because I watched the show. It's quite entertaining. But there's a generation of kids out there that think that's proper music.
Yeah.
They think that this karaoke, this overhyped karaoke.
Yeah, with a sort of head mic.
Well, yeah.
It's so easy to mime with a head mic.
Yeah, and the contestants, that's proper music. No, Leona Lewis, who's a very talented singer, does well. But they think that's what music's about.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to get punk or heavy metal or even glam rock. You know, but proper talented music that's come from the soul that's out there.
Yeah.
It's just this karaoke.
It's blando, isn't it?
And the Britney Spears kind of just sums it all up.
See, even if it was just blando, not performing live is something that really gets to my goat. And when you think about this idea that they're all divas out there, you know, Britney Spears is diva. No, you know, that's absolute nonsense. And it's an insult to women who've come before. I mean, I went to see Dionne Warwick last year.
Oh, brilliant.
Now, the thing is that, I mean, okay, it's middle of the road sort of soul, but it was brilliant. I mean, she was...
Bert Bacharach was just a brilliant song.
It was a Bert Bacharach tribute. And I tell you what, that was true class.
Mm.
Britney Spears, no class whatsoever.
Well, even the songs, the contestants had to sing one of their songs, you know, each. And only knew two that you knew. The rest were like a Joan Jett ripoff or something. Yeah. But this is how you know that she's definitely no good, because Tony Parsons, my colleague in the Mirror, has given her a big up. He says today, Britney is a fighter, a battler. Made the same stuff as Judy Garland and Edith Piaf.
You're joking.
What flesh? Beset by personal problems, yet still capable of ripping your heart out.
Abba.
By the way, I saw the Coral last night doing the acoustic set. Very good.
Yeah, great.
Very, very good. Simon O'Brien was there too, and made me feel quite humble, the fact that he gets up before me, but he was drinking Coke. That's right. that was at Dave Hewitson's, the launch of Dave Hewitson's book. The Liverpool Boys Are Back in Town. Very good. Very good launch at the Static Gallery up in Roscoe Street.
All right. Never
very good.
Yeah.
Just thought you'd give a little plug there, Mike.
Yeah, okay.
What have you...
Well, you talked about music just now.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, the horror that awaits us for Christmas is David Van Day getting booted off I'm a Celebrity Asylum and immediately going off with Timmy Mallett to record his classic record, Biff Baff Boff.
They're going to do it?
Apparently so. And
did you write this in the jungle?
It goes something like, Biff Baff Boff, I've had a cough, I'm going to have a boff or something.
Classic.
Absolute classic. But of course, not a classic.
How did you get time to write those lyrics?
But not a classic compared to some of the great Christmas novelty songs.
Have there been great Christmas novelty songs?
Well, it's been one at least.
Ernie.
Well, that's, I mean, that's going to be the top.
Superb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll just give you just the first bit of it. As an
you
intro
can hear
to
the offbeat pound as they raced across the ground.
And the clatter of the wheels as they spun round and round. And he galloped into Market Street, his badge upon his chest. His name was Ernie. And he drove the fastest milk cart in the West. Now, beat that.
Two-ton Ted from Teddington. Griffin will be in a minute. He might just be able to slightly do a little bit. Okay, but what are the other great Christmas novelty singles? Grandad by Clive Dunn.
No, actually, I've obviously fallen on...
The St. Winifred's Choir.
I've fallen on quicksand here.
And every Paul McCartney one and every Cliff Richard one.
Yeah, hold on, I'll keep quiet now. I'll just say Ernie and leave it at that.
I just pity people working shops this month.
I know, it's terrible.
If they have to listen to this music, 50 continuous hits.
To be honest though, mate, I've actually got to like some of them now. I used to hate them when I was a kid, but I actually quite like Wizards. I wish it could be Christmas every day.
And Happy Christmas War is over.
You know, but when I used to be a trench coat wearing Echo and the Bunny Man fan, of course, you couldn't say things like that. But now that you're an old aged pensioner, you can actually say, I quite like that. Granddad, sorry.
Princess Eugenie. What do you think of her?
Horse.
Well, they're all horses, aren't they? But she's been on a gap year.
Yeah.
Okay, and the royal family announced that she would be taking a year off work to broaden her horizons and see how other cultures exist. Fair enough, not knowing that. I believe it's a big thing now, gap years. Yeah. So
you're going to Callum Matthews' council estate then?
Yeah. So, they wouldn't give any details about where she was going, you see, obviously for security reasons, even though she had a bodyguard with her. Again, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
But nobody knew, just that she's going around the world. Obviously thought she was in some third world hellhole, you know, helping the kids doing the Mother Teresa style thing, seeing getting down in the hood all over the world.
Buddy.
Turns out after the Mumbai terror attacks, somebody found out that she'd been that five-star hotel, the Taj Mahal Palace, that's where she'd been staying for a week. But there's where she is on her gap year in these five-star, you know,
I think they'd be tightening up on that. I don't think she'll be going anywhere like that in the future.
But it's a good training for a gap life, which is what most of them have, isn't it?
I know.
This is a gap life, really, isn't it?
I would like a gap life.
You'd like a gap life?
I might be having one soon.
Hey, by the way, I think before we go on, we should mention Peter Grant here, because he's our friend. Granty, Peter, yeah. Is in a bad way, isn't he?
Yeah, just to say, Granty, get better soon, because we're all thinking about you. Peter Grant works on the
Echo Legends.
Post Echo. Yep. I think he's been on the show a couple of times as well. Yep. Anyway, he got badly injured this week and broke his pelvis. So we're all thinking about you, Pete, and hopefully you'll be able to get back in and...
And shake your pelvis. Now, get well, Pete. I hope you're well soon.
Yeah.
Anything else there, Mike, that caught your attention? It's 25 past 10. That's flown, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, we were just talking about Christmas before, and there was a nice little Christmas story about Nigella Lawson, who's...
You don't fancy her.
I think she's not too bad, you know. I mean, she's the sort of, the alternative posh spice.
She's the Daily Mail, ultimate Daily Mail woman, isn't she?
Posh spice with a bit of meat on her. Anyway, she said this week that she'd settle for chips and curry sauce for Christmas. Although I'm not really sure what her posh husband, Charles Saatchi, would be particularly happy about that.
He only eats eggs now. He only eats 10 eggs a day.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, he's on an egg diet.
Anyway, a quote was... I have low tastes, just chips and curry sauce, a nice drink, some nice friends, and I'd be very happy.
See, that's why I hate her, because that's a lie.
Yeah, it probably is a lie.
It's like, because she knows that's going to make the headlines.
Yeah.
Nigella, isn't she good? Look at the volivant she's putting into a lovely middle class now. But she really likes fish and chips and curry and chips.
Yeah.
It's like when she said she loved football. I love futter.
Yeah,
I love futter.
I'm almost suspicious of people like that. It goes back to Tony Blair, that one, doesn't it, really?
So talking about types that you... I want your man's perspective on this. Gordon Ramsay's... bit on the side. Virtually every woman columnist has gone, I don't know how he could do that. He's got such a beautiful wife at home. How could he do that? Well, actually, I can understand it totally.
Yeah, I can.
Because if someone of that comes onto you, this serial seducer, this blonde, slim, skilled at what she does. I mean, the only thing to put me off is she's been with Jeffrey Archer. I don't think you could go there if she'd be with Jeffrey Archer. But Ramsay's come out this week and said, as if I'd go with such a complete slapper.
Yeah.
The interesting word there is complete, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you probably might go with a slapper. What's the difference between a slapper and a complete slapper?
Yeah.
What do you think? Is it?
Yeah. I don't know. I saw pictures of this woman you're supposed to be going with. And like you, this idea that you're going with someone who's been with just about half the House of Commons or something is not something that...
It's just Jeffrey Archer.
Yeah. You'd just be thinking about him all the time, you know.
But I think the difference between a slapper and a complete slapper is that the complete slapper sells a story.
Yeah.
It's okay if you're a slapper, but if you're a complete slapper, if I cheat and then you go and tell everyone about it, you are a complete slapper. But I've got to stay with this, Meg. I've got to now shock you. There's a great story this week about genuine slappers, right? Okay, in Cincinnati, police rounded up this gang of hookers in an undercover sting operation. The eight unlovely ladies were nicked in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and their less than flattering mugshots were posted on the internet. Now, are you ready for this?
I've actually seen it. They actually laid it out to me.
And this isn't good radio, but there's eight women here who look... All I can say is they look like the Liverpool team of the 80s.
You're going back to the Callum Matthews syndrome now, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
Scary stuff.
Mm.
But one thing wasn't scary this week, and it was great, and I think you'd agree, is walking around Liverpool...
Swinging your chain.
Going back to that. No. Anyway. Liverpool won. I sort of chanced me on. I hate crowds. I really do on Christmas, people talking into mobile phones, walking sideways, and the Panzer unit of the, the push brigade using the kids to just batter everyone out the way.
Yeah, guerrilla. No, it's guerrilla warfare. They actually surround it. What they do now with these, they've got kids and pushers, they surround an area in the shop where no one can get to.
And they all sort of march along to that. Here come the girls. And everyone has to run out the way. But walking around Liverpool One on Thursday was fantastic.
Yeah,
I really was impressed, and actually got lost.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think a lot of out-of-towners would go, yeah, it looks nice, but it's just another shopping area. But if you're from Liverpool and you've lived it all your life and you remember those streets, remember it was there, and you see it now, see the way it links the Albert Dock, it's really uplifting.
It's amazing. And I would have been the first one to slag it off maybe a year ago because of all the work that was going on and you couldn't see anything. But now it's been revealed. There's some of the ideas there are fairly inspired.
Yeah.
The way it's connected up. I mean, it's taken a long time, but it's actually looking really good.
Weren't you put off by the amount of people that looked orange? Because that was your first complaint.
Well, the Oompa Loompas were out in force on... on Thursday. But, I mean, at least they weren't getting in my way, you know.
The best of Brian Reid. City Talk 105.9.
The voice of Liverpool.
City Talk 105.9.
The best of Brian Reid on City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back. This is Brian Reid bringing you the best of my Saturday morning show here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
I'm very pleased to say that, as well as Mike Chabra from the Daily Post, I've now been joined by Steve Gribben. He's a musical comic, he's a stand-up comedian, he's a singer-songwriter, he's a voiceover artist. He's a lifelong president of the National Union of Short-Ass Satirical Songsmiths. He's Liverpool's very own wandering minstrel.
Yes.
Steve, that's a good build-up, that,
yeah,
wasn't
it? Yeah, it was a very good build-up, yeah.
I didn't do about the A4 stationary sniffing this time.
Well, I've got over that now. I've been in therapy for that one. Mind you, that piece of paper looks a bit alluring, doesn't
Come
it?
Come on, mate, have a quick nip.
Oh, it's lovely.
Hey, we nearly did a John Barrowman there, didn't we? We forgot to mention that.
Oh, what?
Is it John Barrowman?
Doctor Who? Do you hear about him exposing himself on Radio 1?
Yeah.
It's a new scientific fact that you can actually...
How can you expose yourself on... I'm going to... Mike, put that away.
Yeah.
We're going to... How can you
wave
do
it around right now.
But again, that made the massive... The Daily Mail... They do it again. Yeah, Ross Brand, now Bannerman, exposes himself.
Gets his meat and two veg out. It's
and then he said, no, I got me fruit and nuts. He said, I didn't get me meat and two veg, I got me fruit. Now, I don't know the difference between meat and two veg and fruit and nuts. Actually, I've never really looked.
One's healthier.
For all the vegan listeners. But they got one complaint. Again, one complaint. And I mean, A, what kind of nut did you have to be? I'm just complaining why some fella said he's doing a flash on radio.
The best bit about it was before he'd actually taken his, you know, meat and two veg, fruit and nuts out, he'd been wheeled around the studio in a wheelbarrow with a helmet on.
What, really?
I think that's outrageous. I think
it is outrageous. We're a waste of a wheelbarrow.
We're a waste of a helmet. There's another gag in there.
There is.
Yeah. No, we can't do that.
It's a family show.
Yeah. Now, Steve, in case you've never heard him before, is a very, very funny satirical songwriter. Gets topical subjects like we do, and he turns it into gold. He makes songs out of them.
Hey, that's funny, actually. That's a good link, because gold is one of the themes of this song that I'm going
right
to do.
Right then.
Here we are in Liverpool, home of the sea shanty. So I've written a very modern sea shanty. This is the Somalian pirate sea shanty. This is called Yo Ho Ho and a Lot of Petroleum.
We are Somalian pirates, though we sound like we're from Devon. We don't use cutlasses or cannon, just AK-47s. We're not like the old gentleman pirates. We don't swear and taunt you, but we will blow a hole in the side of your head with a verily rocket launcher. Oh, we are the high-tech pirates. How much are your hostages worth? You'll never ever find us unless you look on Google Earth. We use satellite navigation with the voice of Johnny Depp. Let the next wave turn right. Watch out for speed cameras ahead. We're internet savvy. We go on eBay just for flogging. And woe betide you if you interrupt the captain when he's blogging. Oh, we are the high-tech pirates. This song's on CD-ROM. Why not join our website? /kickpunchdeckdownonthefloor.com. If you want to make you walk the plank, you can do it on Nintendo Wii. We want the ransom paid in doubloons. It's worth more than our currency. Oh, all right, then, we demand $25 million. All right, then, make it 15. All right, then, anything you got in your pocket, as long as not Icelandic, please. Oh, we are the high-tech pirates. We've gone from gold tooth to blue tooth. Come and see our videos. They're available on Screw YouTube. Oh, we are Somalian pirates. We kill and plunder without fail. And we also jump the queue for council houses if you read the Daily Mail.
Hey! Yeah, that's better than Britney Spears, isn't it, hey?
It is. True class, mate.
Can we just have that website address again?
/punchkickdownonthefloor.com.
So that's what Steve does. He looks at the news and makes brilliant songs like that. Have you played that one before?
No, I only wrote that yesterday.
I mean, you've written a few for the show in the past, which have now become standards.
Yep, the one about the bankers, the ballads of a private equity short selling. I can't say the word, but I did it last night at the Olympia and took the roof off. That's the wrong analogy in a recession, isn't it?
Sarah Palin, that was a good one.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately,
She's gone now. She's gone. History. Nobody even talks about it, do they?
No.
Nobody. There's not Moose
Woman. It's sad. And you know, there's part of me wanted her to stay on because she was such a good sub. I'm glad she's not because she'd have made George, you know, Jubbly Bush look like Stephen Hawking, wouldn't she? Well, it's so thick.
Well, you know, we were talking before about songs, novelty songs and everything. Don't you regret the idea that you don't get novelty songs as released anymore?
You've got this one coming out, as you said, Timmy Mallett and David Van Day.
Biff, but I'm talking about that.
That's a level of songwriting you must aspire to.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I can see Biff and Boff, but not Baff.
Yeah, but the thing is...
Do you remember
the real genius ones, like My Brother and stuff like that?
I mean, I'm actually a big fan. I've got a collection of all of those. I mean, the two Bernard Cribbins ones, I think, are works.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, aren't they?
That's absolutely fantastic. Produced by George Martin as well, weren't they?
Yeah.
There's a history of... What you come from there is a kind of rich vein of British comedy, isn't it? Because, I mean, you may not like the likes of Flanders and Swan.
I do, actually.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
There's much Binding in the Marsh.
Yeah, I love all that sort of thing. I'm a big fan of Flanders.
I'm a GNU.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the kind of... I mean, OK, it's a different satire to that, but it was kind of putting it to music. Yeah. And, of course, a Scouser, you could be the heir to his seat, Richard Stilgo.
Yeah, Richard Stilgo. The
modern day Richard Stilgo.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, but I'm going to put that on my poster.
But you don't get shows.
It's not Richard Stilgo.
You don't get shows for that sort of thing anymore. I'm not saying come back the two Ronnies and all that sort of thing. What I mean is that...
There's no outlet on television.
You couldn't go on the X Factor and do something like that.
No. I mean, there used to be, you know, that was the week that was. They had a satirical song every week.
Yeah.
But nobody seems to be doing it. And some, not the 9 o'clock news, this stuff was really good. The parody, the musical stuff they did.
Yeah.
But no, at the moment on television, there's nothing really.
Well, you've got Mock the Week, haven't you? But that's kind of where it becomes really self-indulgent to me, a lot of that. It's the same crowd kind of doing the same gags and teeing each other up. I mean, I think If I Got News For You is still brilliant. And it's really held itself really well, I think, over the years.
I mean, Paul Merton's just a genius on that. You know?
Yeah.
We won't mention Dane Hoslop.
No. So you're at the Olympia tonight, Steve?
Yes, I am.
Did you see you were there last night?
I was there last night, yeah. It's the Christmas party season now, so...
I bet you love
lots
that.
Of people,
get more hecklers when it's Christmas party.
I tell you what, less heckling, more than just chatting amongst themselves.
Yeah, that must be even more annoying.
Yeah. Well, actually, some people left last night before the first half because they said they'd had too much to drink.
But, I mean, you must notice the difference between genuine, but the normal comedy fans who go along to the corporate... The corporate parties.
Well, I mean, this time of year is full of what I like to call the amateur drinkers. You know, the people that just can't take
Charlies.
Their ale. Yeah, 2 pint Charlies, yeah. And you can see them just, you know. Yeah. Oh, it's very funny. Yeah. But, I mean...
Yeah, but they all think they're dead funny, though,
don't
they?
Yeah.
It's sort of like...
But then this is when you come into your own as a heckler handler. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Well, I've got a few put downs, yeah.
Come on, give us a couple of good ones.
Give him a heckle.
I can't say the good ones on air.
I'm the dickhead in the audience, right?
All right, then. Of all the hecklers working in Britain, I had to get Rain Man. Told you I couldn't say it on air. No.
Well, it's, yeah. Right, Steve, have you got another song?
I have got another one.
Pregnant Man.
Pregnant Man. He's come back. Thomas Beattie.
I think he's pregnant again, you know.
He's a slag, isn't he? Himself about. I'm disgusted with him.
He's the male Karen Matthews of America.
This one is comes out of the list that. You know, the BNP list that was out a few weeks ago. I just love that woman who wrote into... you know, she was on a radio phone in Radio 5. She goes, I feel like I'm living in a fascist state. Just, what are you complaining about? You got what you want. But one of the main members of the BNP, I don't know if you know, this is a ballerina, isn't she? With the
Quite a few of them were driving instructors.
Driving instructors,
weird. What
driving instructors.
Yeah, the
BNP driving instructor, go right.
She has a ballerina.
So I've written this one. It's called BNP Ballerina. It's a very sort of lovely, floaty ballet song. BNP Ballerina throats through the air somehow. When asked about the arabesque, she says, deport them all right now. The BNP Ballerina, her pirouette is so good, and to her all-white ensemble, she's just added a white hood. She's a guardian of British culture, a stout Anglo-Saxon wench in an art form popularised in Italy, with music by a Russian and invented by the French. She swapped her dainty ballet shoes for jackboots on her feet. And if you disagree, her skinhead dancers will do the nutcracker sweet. And in Swan Lake, she makes sure no black swans get the roles. And when she does the dying swan, she says, I blame the Poles. Oh, the BMP ballerina dances in such flamboyant style. With grace and charm, she throws out her arm and sighs, seek heil. Oh, the BMP ballerina performs a stunning demi-plie as her new dance troupe storm the stage, the English National Socialist Ballet.
Very good. And a lovely little song too. Yeah, that's great. Music as well,
yeah, I wrote that one quite a while ago, actually, when the first news came out, but I'm bringing it back because of the topicality of the list, you know.
Yeah, I can't say too much about the BNP, as they got a bit of trouble with them, and they're now on one of the hate list websites, so I can't really talk too much about
it. I remember the time, this is the true story, Brian had left the Echo and got this phone call. He went walkabout down the East End after there was a racist murder.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He went walkabout, and he's got this phone call about 2 days later, and it was sort of, all right, is that Brian Reed? I said, no. You know him now, don't you? I said, well, yeah. Well, where is he? I said, well, I'm not telling you. You bloody scouses. You always stick together. We know where he lives. We'll find him.
They always know where you live. They always know where you live.
Our catchphrase. We know where you live.
You've got a Christmas single coming out. Talk about Christmas singles.
Yeah. It's called I'm Surviving Christmas, brackets, with you, exclamation mark. And it's meant to be the first properly sort of honest Christmas song about what people really feel like at Christmas. You know, one of the lines goes, let's just pretend we like each other, at least until your mum's gone away. You know, it's not meant to be cynical, but it's meant to be kind of more realistic than mistletoe.
It'll be lonely this Christmas. Yeah. It's the opposite of without you. It'd be lonely Christmas without you. It'd be crap this Christmas with you.
Yeah, exactly. I just came from observations down the years of people, you know, because it is a very tense time for a lot of people, isn't it? Really?
Of course it is.
Yeah. Dreadful.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the divorce rate goes through the bloody roof, doesn't it?
Yeah. You see, I always thought it was bizarre that, you know, obviously Christmas comedy shows are really popular, or still popular on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
When in fact, it's probably the worst day to put a comedy show on.
Do you reckon?
Well, I always have miserable memories, and it goes into you from childhood onwards, where everyone's sitting around the telly watching something completely unfunny, you know.
Yeah.
One More Coming Wise, that was...
Some of it was okay, but, you know.
Yeah, imagine the thing is, it's on the television, saves people having to talk to each other.
Well, I suppose that's right, yeah.
Because by that point of Christmas Day, you know, a few arguments have been had, haven't they?
Oh, God, yeah.
You could cut the atmosphere with a knife, couldn't you?
It's that sleep, and it's that afternoon sleep, you wake up and everyone's got a knack.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny, you know, when I was a kid, and I used to look at my dad and he'd have Christmas Day and go sleep, and I think, oh, God, you lazy swine.
Yeah.
And then it just happens to me now, exactly the same.
But as Brian said, you know, the one thing that everyone looking forward to, the Morecambe and Wise Christmas show, you know, and all that sort of thing, and, you know, I mean...
The Only Fools and Horses did it for years.
I can take or leave that,
but it was funny, but I think they went over the top about how great it was. It was kind of a Cockney love fest about it, wasn't it?
Slightly, but I actually did look for that. Was one comedy show at Christmas I really did look forward to.
Good.
I don't know about you.
The
Batman and Robin one. That was superb, you know.
Yeah. So what's going to be this year? What's the comedy this year? Anyone know?
Kevin and Stacey.
What, of the year or
John
Christmas?
Bannerman getting his fruit and nuts.
Yeah.
So you must be gutted now, Steve, to know that that single is up against Biff Baff Buff.
Oh, I'm terribly gutted. In fact, there's some, who's the really, really good, is it Nick Cave's got a Christmas single else.
What, Nick Cave?
Yeah. Everybody's got a Christmas single, hasn't
they? I mean, some of the best ones are ones that are like the Pogues, you know.
That's one of the best Christmas songs ever, isn't it?
And there's some really weird ones, like, have you ever heard...
Mistletoe and Wine.
Yeah, well, that's from that one. Well, there's a really weird one from New York called Things Fall Apart by a really bizarre cult artist called Christina.
Christina, yeah.
It's a fantastic record.
Is it good?
Well, it's just a really miserable Christmas record, you know.
Oh, good.
And that's what we want, more fairy tale in New York and
well,
stuff
didn't,
like that.
The guy, Luke Haynes, who used to be in that band called Black Box Recorder, had a single out last year, which was an anti-Christmas song, which was really good. But the problem is no one will play on the radio. It's too depressing, you know.
Well, I want to try and squeeze another one of your topical songs. Have you got another one?
Okay, I've got another one. This one is, again, this has been the year for heroes, hasn't it? Especially that series on the television that everyone's raving about.
The Olympic heroes.
The Olympic heroes, and yes. But this one is about, I just wondered that DC Comics said that they're going to update the whole, you can now get any DC comic in the world that's ever been written online.
Yeah.
You can go online and get it. So I just thought it'd be funny if we saw what happened to the superheroes as they were modernised. So this is called The Modernised Superheroes. Here we go. Captain America's no longer the world's number one. Captain China is coming through. The Human Torch accidentally farted and started the Californian fires. Spider-Man's into web design and the Riddler's renamed himself Sudoku. The Batmobile runs on corn seed oil and on plantation rubber tires. Where did they go? Where did they go? Where did they go? All the superheroes. The Incredible Hulk went to anger management classes. Now he's never green. He's formed a male bonding group with Thor and He-Man. Poison Ivy's genetically modified herself so she only causes a slight rash. The Penguin's making po-faced documentaries with Morgan Freeman. Where did they go? Where did they go? Where did they go? All those superheroes. Iron Man's had his image softened. He's now rechristened Ironing Man. Who doesn't mean lasagna and sun-dried tomato? The Joker is no longer funny, so now he's on BBC Three. And Storm is having an affair with two hurricanes and a tornado. Wolverine's new career as a masseuse didn't go so well. You scratch his back and yours will be in shreds. Wonder Woman didn't follow the rules on Strictly Come Dancing when she threw her partner 4,000 miles out into space instead. Where did they go? Yeah, where did they go? Oh, where did they go? All those stupid heroes, size of a cow, where are they now? Starring in stupid cartoons with Robert De Niro. Mr. Elastic's taking crack behind his own back. Oh, life is very hard for the modern superheroes.
Brilliant stuff, Dave. Brilliant stuff. And you know what? Like Diane Vickers on The X Factor, he's struggling with a cold. He's had a cold all week, but he's done. I've seen him in rehearsal. He's done really well. I'm really proud of him because I know he's had a cold all week.
It's a very good impersonation.
Yeah, that was Stan Cowell. So if anybody out there wants to hear more from the brilliant Steve Gribben, Liverpool's very own singer, songwriter, satirical, lifelong presence of the National Union of Shorts, satirical songsmith, tonight. At the Olympia.
Show starts at 8 o'clock. 8:30, and the tickets are £10.
Get down there and kick all those corporate liggers out the way.
Yes, exactly. And don't come drunk.
Are you back up in Liverpool soon? You're up for Christmas?
I'm up for Christmas, yeah. I'm staying at my mum's. I'll be doing, at Christmas, I'll be doing the Rawhide on the 27th.
There you go.
Yeah, and I'll be doing, I'm on Spencer Lee's show. I just went to see that, exhibition, Stuart Sutcliffe one yesterday.
Where's that on?
The V&G.
There's so much going on.
It's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. I do highly recommend this, really. What they've done to that building is absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, well, there's so many different things going on. You know, when I was saying to you, the biennial was on, and they came out with this lovely catalogue and a little map. And it was brilliant. It was like a little adventure going around the city centre. All these really weird exhibitions in old warehouses. And
really?
It was brilliant. God, and it's finished now. I think they should have had it on all year, to be honest. You know.
Okay, I love La Machine. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I know you've really come up. You wanted to go on the insult quiz, don't you? Steve Gribben from Waterloo. Chris Burton from Redcar. Mike Chappell from Walton. Without further ado, let's go into it. You know how it works. Okay, this is Ali Ross. Who is he talking about? I'm a celeb's Joe Swash claims he loves blah blah. Does that make him a homotrexual?
Martina Navratilova.
No, somebody was in Star Trek.
Oh.
George Takei.
No, it's Takei, apparently. If you say Takei, that was the source of the... No, because do you know what he said? He had an argument with William Shatner. He said, you keep pronouncing my name Takei, it's pronounced Takei, as in toupee. That's what he said to him. They haven't spoken for 20 years.
Must make dance with a song. Takei rhymes with toupee. This is dead easy. You better get your hand ready for this. Kel Malone, who would she describe as thus? Lying, cheating, hypocritical scumbag.
Britney Spears.
No.
Heather Mills.
No, but I think that just about sums up blah blah. It's a man. Because now we discover this man who makes such a big play of being honest and who constantly...
Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay. Waterloo won. Red card won. Wilton nil. Let's get a local... This is a local person that Ian Hyland is slacking off. A local person, sort of. Okay. Hard to look at pictures of blah blah showing off her droopy twins...
Cilla Black.
Cilla Black.
Did you see those droopy twins?
Oh, she had a plunging cleavage kind of thing.
Yeah, very plunging, wasn't it?
He actually went on to say maybe she should redo the words of one of her shows to surprise, surprise, the unexpected hits you between the thighs. Right, Kevin O'Sullivan. Who was he talking about? Someone we've spoken about on the radio. Get ready, Mike. You may have mentioned this person in the last half hour, okay? Standing neck deep in putrid liquid with maggots and cockroaches cascading onto his balding head. Distraught.
See the Timmy Mallet.
You can't have it either.
Timmy Mallet, go on.
No. Distraught blah blah said, I'll never work again. No change there then. The punchy.
Oh, it's David Van... No,
David Van
David
Day.
Van Day.
That's good to you. Mike, you had a 50-50 chance.
Got the wrong one. Never mind.
Who is Alison Pearson talking about? You have to laugh. Launching her own frock collection in the UK, blah, blah, claims she's qualified to be a fashion designer.
Posh Spice.
Posh Spice. Waterloo 3, Red Card 2, Walton Hill. Come on, mate. I'm going to have to give you one. Okay.
Sorry.
John Barrowman all over again. Put the wheelbarrow away.
Terry Bell be on the phone, mate.
Here is Derek McGovern talking about here. It's again, it's another local person, so be quick. It was horrifying to read in yesterday's Mirror that blah blah has been savaged by a huge snake. Probably not the first time, though. There's a clue in that.
Friend of the show, Paul O'Grady.
Paul O'Grady, yes. Yeah. Probably not the first time, so it was a bit harsh, I thought, by Derek. Who is Sue Carroll talking about, okay? Another local person? Sort of. Blah, blah. It transpires. Turned down Strictly Come Dancing on the basis it would have been too unseemly. Oh, I don't know. Isn't this the woman who waltzed down the aisles of an Australian store grabbing freebies? I'd have thought the hustle would be right up her street. Who's well known for liking the odd freebie? Who was from round your way?
Katona. Kenny Katona.
No.
It's not Anne Robinson.
It's no, some at the same school. Married someone slightly more famous.
Sherry Blair.
Hey! Waterloo 4, Red Card 3, Walton nil. Have we got time for one more?
Yeah, I think we may.
Okay. Right. Amanda Patel. Football fiancé, blah, blah, says it's hell having so much money because it takes all day to clean the house. So it's official then. Despite those dainty little features, blah, blah, is indeed a scrubber at heart. Come on, Mike. Think wag. Think...
I'm not good on wags.
Think Joe Cole's missus. Think
the
her.
The one on Thingio on I'm a Celebrity who got knocked off.
Give it... Carly Zucker, go on. We've got time for more. Here we go. I'm getting it. Right, OK. Now, yes. Who said this? OK. It's the first time I've endorsed a makeup collection, which is unbelievable considering this bone structure and wonderful skin. It's a man who dresses up as a woman, an old woman, who's been...
Barry Humphries.
His Dame Edna Everage's wife. Red Cough 4-4.
The tension!
Right, who said this? He's a mank. Fair Mitch, you're really hard like a juggernaut. You deal with it in two ways, drink and drugs.
Noel Gallagher.
Noel Gallagher. Right, okay, Mike, this is a two-way battle. Just go and have a pint. Right, last one. We got last one. We've got to get the last one here. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Who said this? He's such a flirt. It's really made me very confident because I'm a curvy Spanish girl and I've always felt overweight or not pretty enough. X Factor reject, blah, blah, on Simon Cowell. Can you remember her name, Spanish girl?
I don't know. I know that I can see it. No.
Second name, Lorenzo, first name. We're often mentioned in the Bible. Normally has less after it. Babe. Babe was a good baseball player.
Ruth.
He comes in at the end.
Ruth.
And with that little
Ruth,
we have to say that it was 5 to Waterloo, 4 to Redcar, 1 to Walton. Say to the death.
You've been listening to the best of Brian Reid. I'll be back next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Stay tuned for Tricia Goddard here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
Of Brian Reid, City Talk 105.9. Listen, and log on to the voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9.